Good evening. Tonight we have author Enigma on with the Sex and Horror Podcast with authors Dicey Grenner and Chantel Renee. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's always great to have someone else who is an author because we get to dive into other people's processes. So you're in good hands. We'll massage lightly.
Slightly tainted, but good hands.
Works for me.
Okay. So, Enigma, I'm going to just start with, if anyone is just listening and not watching, then you may be surprised that Enigma is male. Right, well, you know, I shouldn't presume. Do you go by he, him?
Yes, I am a he, him.
Okay, all right.
That's what I go by.
Okay, this is, you know, everybody is welcome here, so I shouldn't presume that. I apologize for that. But okay, so Enigma, judging by the characters on your books and everything, I assumed wrongfully that you were a female writer at first. Do you get that a lot?
No, not really. I guess because, you know, the Enigma name is just kind of a pen name, but, you know, I write a lot for women, so they're the biggest readers, and so that's why I try to gear a lot of my writings to, you know, other than sci-fi stuff and things like that. But yeah.
And you, can we say your real name, or would you rather stay away from what your real name is?
It's Kevin Casey. You can say.
Yeah. Okay. I saw that Kevin Casey. I was like, oh, okay. And I saw your picture. This is when I went to your website, and I was like, oh, okay. I was shocked at first. So that was, I'd be the only one then, apparently. Chantel, did you know?
Well, yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
but I had to get pictures because he's in one of our panels for the Texas Authors Con coming up. So I've been posting pictures of all the people that are going to be on panels with me. So.
Oh, great. And I have kind of been out of it because life.
At least the fact that you're the covers are actually working then. Because if you pick up, at least it's attracting the type of readers I'm looking for. So at least that works. So
absolutely. Your marketing strategy is good because I love the covers. I saw Soliciting. What is that one? Illustrious Solitude. I saw that. And I, you know, just wrongfully assumed that it was a woman writer. Okay. And here's another thing. When I look at...
You do make me curious. Do you get females to design your covers? Like a female to design it?
No. My earlier covers, I did several of the earlier covers. And then I found a guy on Fiverr that I just love. And I just send him certain things. And he just comes out with these things like... You know, like that. So he grabs everything I'm trying to get him to do. So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So are you excited about Texas AuthorCon coming up this weekend?
Oh, yeah. So this will be the biggest one that I've ever been at, book signing event. I've just recently started doing those like last year sometime. The first one, I mean, literally nobody showed up. I'm talking about for any of the authors. Mm-hmm. I sold one book at that event, and then as the events came later, they started to kind of pick up, but this is my fourth event.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And if nobody showed up, then that was on the organizers, the people who were marketing it and should have, you know, I guess promoted it a little bit better. It appears that the organizer for this one this year is doing pretty good. I'm excited to see what happens. And either way, you know, it's always, we go to the events, we're just going to have fun either way. So even if it's just us hanging out, the authors, we go into it looking to make new author-writer friends. And speaking of author-writer, that dash there for writer, you started out as a screenwriter, I see, a script writer.
Ah, you did your research. Yes, I did.
Oh, I did. Right.
Matter of fact, that's how I started my writing, just really getting into the movie scripts, because I'm a real movie guy. I like movies. That's part of the reason I write. So I started with movie scripts, and I've kind of transitioned over to novels now. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you transition before the strike?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was well before. I'm going to say it like this. I tried to work the Hollywood angle. I actually had two scripts that were optioned, but they never really did anything with them. So, you know, Hollywood is just difficult. And I just had all these stories that I had. So I started to take some of those scripts and actually turn them into novels. So that's where I'm
at. Good for you. Yes, good for you. I did it the other way. I started writing books and then started writing scripts. And I'm back to writing books.
Hollywood, it's hard, trust me.
Yeah. Are you in the Black Screenwriters Group on Facebook?
I probably not, because I think before, like right when I started to get into moving things to novels, it was, I really just kind of pushed that to the side. I still have a lot of scripts. I haven't written one in a while, but yeah, I've kind of pushed that to the side and focused on the novels lately.
Mm. Chantel?
What?
Join in before I start rattling them off again.
Oh, you're fine. I'm talking. Okay.
So, Enigma, I'm going to be messy for a minute, okay?
Okay.
So, we have a post-apocalyptic panel coming up, and I noticed you're also an author that's on that panel. There's quite a few, maybe five or six of us. And I'm moderating that panel. And today I started reading some messages like, what the fuck?
Do you have any thoughts on that? I saw that too. Like, since I've never been on the panel, I kind of took a step back. I said, oh, they'll figure it out. But yeah, I've never really been on the panel. I've seen panels done a lot of times. And I know, I guess I can understand how they're talking about panels can be a little rough, but being a person who's never been a part of a panel, I don't know if there's a preparation time or do we just show up and just kind of go into it. So I really didn't have an opinion one way or the other, but I figured they got professionals, you know, people who have done it before. I'll just leave it in their hands and then, hey, when I show up, y'all just tell me what to do. You know, I'll go from
there. You didn't need any prompting, right? You know what you know. So I'm going to ask you some questions. We're going to talk. We're going to have a dialogue. And you're going to tell me what's off the top of your head. And we're going to keep it entertaining and exciting that way. So that's how the panels are. It's just more of us.
Right, right. And that's how I figured it. But I've seen some, I guess, because the person, they're like, you know, they've seen disorganized panels. And the funny thing is, I actually saw one. I went to the Comic-Con this year. And it was the National Lampoon's guys, you know, with Chevy Chase and all of them. Oh, nice. And that was a terrible panel. It was terrible.
What happened?
Well, Beverly D'Angelo, I think that's her name, she talked like a lot. Chevy Chase was barely paying attention. Randy Quaid gave the best answers. And then they had the other girl who drove in the car. She was kind of in and out, but it was terrible. The person who was moderating it didn't really know what he was doing. It was just a big mess. And so when he said that panels can be bad, that was the first thing that jumped in my head, because that was a panel I attended this year and it was terrible.
Well, I have to say, I think I said it all when I said a panel's only bad if the moderator is bad. It really is true.
Because you got to be willing to cut people off.
You got to be willing to cut them off. You got to be willing to guide the conversation. You know what I mean? So, you know, even like when Dicey and I are doing the show, we guide each other, you know? So I think it's just a matter of everybody feeling that. And I think I can get the fear of having a bad panel, especially amongst sci-fi nerds such as ourselves, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, okay, except for me, because I hate writing anything over 80,000 words. I'm like, fuck a bunch of that. I am not writing that many words. But, you know, sci-fi people are known to be long-winded, you know? So I can understand how a panel like this could get out of control and, like, you know, very monotonous and, you know, people getting up and leaving, you know, hearing people cough, you know, that sort of thing. But I think we got the right moderator for the job.
I'm going to be honest, y'all got me worried now. Like, I just want to just come and sit on the panel now instead of moderating, because I've never had an issue. It's always, even when they've been an hour long, people always come up afterwards. Oh, we need to have this 2 hours. You know, it's always gone so well. And I've not had any problems. So I didn't have any hesitations, you know, no reservations. And now I'm a little worried.
Well, put it like this, I can't speak for the entire panel, but I have faith in you, so.
Yes. All right. It'll be fine.
Well, you know, for me, it's always, I'm thinking of keeping it entertaining and at times informational, educational, but it needs to be interwoven so that it's, you know, it can't, we can't go into the nerd stuff and the geek stuff so much that we lose the entertainment value, because people, that's when it starts getting boring. And I'm gonna fall asleep if it's boring. So I don't want to listen to people that are boring, and so I'm not gonna be up there, you know, with it going, yes, those long monologues and stuff like that. So
as long as we keep in mind, this isn't a 101 on how to prepare for an apocalypse.
You know what? I think listening to some, so seeing some of the comments on there, I think that's what they're looking at. It's like, you know, I don't think that's what it is, but like I said, I'm the new guy, so I'm just gonna kind of let it ride, see what they say.
It absolutely is not, and this is fiction. We are talking about, yes, fiction, and everybody does not have to write it the same way, because it is our creative
liberty. And nobody has to survive an apocalypse the same way. My chubby ass might just go out in the middle of the street and say, all right, I'm done. Just run me over, eat me zombies, what the fuck ever, because I am not running.
I tell you what, I know how to survive an apocalypse. I think, just natural survival instincts and certain things. The question for me is, would I want to? Like, there would come a point where I would be like, you know what? I'm tired of this. Just eat me, please. Take me out or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would probably just go chop some heads off as long as I can get away with it. And then I'll have to clean up after that shit. Damn, that's a mess.
Well, you belong on Fear the Walking Dead, where the people are actually bad, and they're the ones you really got to watch out for, because they're bad people.
Well, I tell you like this, I would not survive 1 minute. I would like to think, I could take care of this, I can do this, but I know probably within 3 days I'll be dead.
What would get you? Would it be hunger? Would it be what would be the thing that would take you out?
So I think the biggest thing is electricity, because once that goes, I'm gone. I actually sleep with a CPAP machine. So how am I going to be able to use that? So yeah, exactly. I'd be gone long. Like hunger and all that, I can survive that. You know, I used to live out in New Orleans, and I survived New Orleans, but yeah, I can't survive no electricity. That's a bit much.
Especially in this heat.
Yes.
I know it's going to be snowing in Canada tomorrow.
I got family out here, too.
Because it's hot as hell here.
Oh my God.
But you know what, when it comes to, you know, post-apocalypse, when I think about it, and I guess my roots would be in religion, you know, with the Revelation, the book of the Bible, but then all the other fictional stuff that I've read and watched is what has taken over. So I kind of mix a little bit of it in my brain, but I would look forward to certain things, like not having to worry about my student loans. So I would kind of be like, yes, let's go. And then also I'd be like, oh, okay, well now I can't eat as much. So I probably lose some weight and slim down. So that's a plus. I get back to wearing cut off shirts, you know, and then I'd be like, you know, there's so many things I wouldn't have to worry about anymore. You know, that would be something I would look forward to.
But you have a whole lot of other stuff to worry about.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Like, where's your next meal going to be? You know, it's going to run out eventually.
I mean, you know, cannibalism is a thing.
And I got a dog.
She ain't right.
I'm glad I'm dead in 3 days.
No, girl.
Yeah, that's, like I said, I know how to survive.
maybe we could become like the praying mantises. We would just find a nice dude to hook up with, and then he'd wake up and we'd be making sausage, and he'd be like, ooh, that smells interesting. So yeah, look down. It's gone. I'm cooking it up. You want a piece?
You know, the movie Raw comes to mind. Raw, do you remember that? Where that girl was biting his leg, was eating him? Oh my God, the movie Raw. In fact, one of our former podcast guests was the one that told us about the movie. I think Reggie mentioned it and I looked it up. Oh. You remember that?
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Raw. Though. And I was like, oh, like,
what the fuck they're talking about? Cooking penis on this guy.
But
don't worry, it could be a chick too. And if she has real boobs, I could cook those.
Well, you know. A plus to me, though, is at least you and I can't have kids, Chantel, because that is like the worst thing to imagine. When I think of Quiet Place and I think of the fact that she's pregnant or having a kid or something, that is like the absolute worst. At least I ain't got to worry about that.
We can just, you know, if our, especially if our husbands get killed, we'll just be whoring ourselves around getting meals that way. Shit. Right. It was like, well, shit.
We'll fight for food.
I mean, it's like the whole OnlyFans thing. I mean, it's just nothing. We guys just don't win anything in none of this.
We'll fuck for food. I'd be holding the sign up. I got kids to feed.
I can take some chrome off a bumper, baby. Come on.
So you see how easy a panel is about post-apocalyptic.
You see, but that's trauma. Just it. We're being silly. I think he's a little more serious, and I get it. We just got to get him to chill and have some fun.
Yeah, we're probably, you know, when he talks about hanging out, we probably need to get him drunk. But he doesn't drink though. He don't drink. That's the real problem, because you need to loosen up, bruh. For this panel, you need to loosen up. So let's have some fun. You need to get something.
Oh my.
I mean, maybe, like I said, I just read into it a certain way. Maybe he's been a part of panels that have fallen apart that. Maybe that's why he's tripped. I don't know. You know, I just was like, okay, that's a lot to, you know, share and all that. I'm like, do people normally get together during before panels and discuss all this? I don't know.
No, not usually.
He's got me worried that he's going to be dry and boring on the panel now, to be honest.
I think he's just at the last minute. He's literally just putting his attention on this 3 days ahead of time. You know what I mean? Instead of like the rest of us been looking at it the last few weeks and
girl, no. I've had work to do. I haven't been looking at
this. But I'm just saying, we know that we've already confronted the fact we're going to this event and we're going to be on panels. And I guess maybe he has just put it in like a different part of his mind and not worried about it at all. But everybody prepares differently, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, that was enough of the messiness. In all seriousness and in all honesty, I think he's a great person, and he just needs to loosen up a little bit. You know, I think it'll be fine, but he does have me a little worried now, so I probably have to prepare a little bit more than I usually do for panels, just to make sure that he doesn't have a self-fulfilling prophecy, not even put it out there into the universe.
Hey, make sure he has 2 minutes. Give him his 2 minutes and move on.
We can find some cute cat videos on a phone and let him look at that.
I'm gonna have to start setting a timer every time somebody starts talking. Okay, time's up. Next.
I'm gonna do that on my panel that I'm moderating. I have like 8 people. It's insane.
Oh God. Yeah. We're and you see, like this, like I have questions for you that are already written out. Like I've presented to the panel for that particular panel. I have questions for you tonight. That way there's never a dull moment. Like I can't think of something to say. I have something to go to, but I don't have to get to all those. We can just roll with the conversation if it's rolling naturally and there doesn't have to be a script. You know, we don't have to go by those points,
you know,
but that's just,
I hate
so it
to interrupt
lag.
You Dicey, but I'm just gonna tell all our listeners, this is like perfect dating advice. Like when you just need to find someone that you want to enjoy your time with. Hey, we're just going to roll with what we got. We got some backup plans, but you know what? If we're feeling each other, we're just going to have some fun. Don't get all serious. You know, that's a good dating advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it depends on personality too. Don't forget, because some people are serious like that. Some people want structure in their lives. Some people,
and
you know,
do.
Don't.
And that's when you go, oh, that's you want to, oh, sorry, this is the wrong bed for you, baby, gone.
But yeah, because what I'm hearing is vanilla.
Right?
Speaking of vanilla.
Now, wait a minute. This is a fair question. what is your age group, sir?
My age group, as far as...
Are you talking about dating or
how
readers?
How old are you? I'm not asking you specifically.
Okay. Well, I just made 45, so...
Oh, okay. So you're close to our group. You're about, well, I always say, you know, maybe a couple of years a little shy of us seeing eye to eye with everything. You know what I mean? Because I'm about to be 50.
Okay.
So I think for men, it must be different than for women. I've been married twice. I'm still married to my second husband. And if we ever divorce, I am done with that fucking shit. Now, yourself, how long have you ever been married?
I'm married now. I've been married 24 years.
You see, so you're a good husband. You're like, you're thinking like a husband should, saying, well, some people want to be serious. I get that. We're like on the other end of the women who are like, men get on our fucking nerves. But we appreciate a husband who's being a husband. So well done to you for actually being the husband that you're supposed to be.
Now, keep in mind, too, though, that being married for that long, I am so far removed from dating, I wouldn't know what to do. I probably would be that guy that's sitting there kind of structured life because that's what I'm used to. Yeah. And then, like, getting into that mode, you know, so when you've been doing something for that long, I mean, it was one time I just thought to myself, oh, my God, I've been married more than half my life. I'm like, wow. I don't even know what single is. Yeah, like, if something happened with that, I would be lost.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to vanilla. Speaking of vanilla, and not to get into, since you're married, I'm going to tread real light over this. I don't want to know about your personal business, whether you're vanilla in the bedroom or not. I want to talk about your fiction. So, you know, this is the sex and horror podcast. Do you have some juicy sex scenes in there? Is there closed door, open door, bedroom scenes? Is it, you know, what's the jalapeno spice level, that sort of thing?
So for me, when I'm writing those types of scenes, it really, the only time I kind of get where a little more descriptive is when it's an actual like act of passion, just out of the blue type scene, because I'm a storyteller and sometimes, you know, I'm not an erotic storyteller. And so certain books will have certain scenes that, you know, that the sex is part of it and it needs to be built into it. But then there may be a scene in some books where, okay, they go into the room and then cut to the next scene. You know, it depends on what the book is. And I've written 24 books, so each book is different.
24? Nice. Yes. How long
have you been an author?
A while. I can't really think on how long exactly, but it's been a while.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Yeah, 24.
Certain situations, though, like I have a book that's called Promiscuous Love. So certain scenes in that one, yes, you're going to see a little more sex scenes. Now, as far as like an erotic type writer, yeah, it's probably very vanilla compared to that. Mm-hmm. But it was just something to kind of get the passion along. But yeah, a lot of times it really just depends on what I'm trying to write.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you go for the more romantic connection in your love scenes? Or sex scenes?
Again, depends. Like I have one character who's using sex for a, you know, power or just control. But then I have another character who's using it as passionate. And so those will be a little more loving as far. I had one in my Side Chick Chronicle books where she gives a dude a blowjob in a club. So, you know, certain things, it depends on the situation. Like she's doing that because she's trying to win over this football player who has a lot of money and she wants a piece of that money. So there's no love about it. This is just business to her. You know, then another character is just in love and, you know, it really takes the passion there. And, you know, it really depends.
Okay. With 24 books, are you beyond worrying about how they're going to be received or worrying about whether your parents are going to be worried or upset about the content or anything? Are you past that now? You're good. You're secure in what you write by now, right?
So just kind of building on that, the first book I released, told my mom, I don't want you reading this. You know,
right.
No. I didn't want anybody reading this book out that was in my family, because I didn't really share it to anybody. I popped it on Amazon, didn't tell anybody. I was kind of like the, what they call it on Back to the Future, the George McFly. I don't let anybody read my stories. They're my stories. I didn't want anybody who knew who I was reading. Now, look, you pay for it. I don't care what you do with it. You can put it under a table. You can, you know, read it all. Just, you know, I'm sure my mother's probably, she probably went to therapy after reading certain scenes, but hey, you chose to read it. I warned you.
Mm-hmm. So are they violent?
Certain ones, yeah, certain ones can get a little violent, but she doesn't read those. She wants to read the, you know, just talking about my mother, she likes to read those little Hallmark type movie type books and storylines like that. Yeah, some of my gangster stuff or sci-fi stuff or, you know, just action oriented or anything like that, she's not going to read that anyway. She'll buy it just to say, hey, I got the book, but you're not going to read it. I know the ones that she's read.
Okay. And your ultimate goal is to have your stories on the screen, on the big screen, including the novels?
I don't know anymore. I mean, initially it was, because like I said, I'm a movie buff. I'm a movie man by heart. So I would love to see that. I've actually filmed one of my stories myself. It was terrible. It was a terrible situation. And so I know what goes into it. But ultimately, right now, I'm just hoping to entertain. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, if it takes it by the novels, hey, if one day I get a call and somebody says, we want to make this into a movie, I probably have a screenplay already associated with it. But if they do, hey, I'll be happy to. Right now, though, I'm just an entertainer at this point.
Right. I gotcha. In the same boat, kind of. But what was so bad about the experience? Was it low budget, or what, did you have the wrong people that you were working with? What made that situation so bad?
So the way I set this up is I put it on Craigslist, say, hey, I'm a script writer looking to film. And I came across a guy and he was like, cool. He liked the story. He read the story. He wanted me to direct. I don't know anything about directing, okay? I don't know how to handle, this was before I had been a supervisor, so I didn't know how to manage people. I didn't know anything. And so just stepping into it was unprofessional because I didn't know what to do. You know, I'm just learning, just, okay, let's try this, you know, setting up scenes. And that's another thing too. You don't really understand the whole, like when I watch a movie, because I'm a novel writer, I'm into the story, okay? Cinematography, have no clue. And I was talking to one of my friends one day, we were talking about the same movie. He was talking about, oh man, the way they shot this and the way they lined this up. And I'm like, well, I'm talking about the stories. You can see that people see it differently. He was a cinematographer, so that's what he looked at. I'm looking at the story. And so when there's time to set up camera shots and things like that, I have no idea what I'm doing. And the guy who was filming, he didn't either. So it was just a bad experience. And then he had people getting into it in the background again, me having no lack of how to manage people and things like that. It was just a nightmare shoot. It was just, not a story was good because it was my story, but as far as how to set up the shots and, you know, things like that, it was a rough thing. It was just ridiculous. People don't really realize how much it takes to do that. Matter of fact, the guy who was filming, he was like, oh, we'll knock this out in the weekend. I'm like, I mean, this is a 120-page script. You're not going to knock this out in a weekend.
Right.
Wow. You know, he didn't know either. He didn't really realize the type of commitment it took. And he started to get lazy, like, oh, I got things to do and things to do. We were basically on him. You know, it was just a nightmare, trust me.
Okay, yeah, I got it.
You got to find the right people for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So have you tried like Kickstarter or anything like that? And I say that because I noticed even one of my, in the Black Screenwriters group I was talking about, right? I noticed some of the names in their group, I'm familiar with her work. Like, I'm a fan of the shows or the movies that they've written on. So I pay attention to when they post, like, I know that name. So Kevin Graveau was one of them that's in there. And he was Underworld, for instance, I, Frankenstein. Those are his. And so I saw him post just a few days ago about this Kickstarter that he has coming out for a new project that he's working on. Looks like it might be animation. As you know, that writer strike thing is doing something real weird right now. So I think it's an animated film that he's putting out there. But I did get on the list so that I could follow what he's doing. So, but anyway, it just told me that even someone as established as he is still resorts to something like the Kickstarter to get funding. So is that something that you've looked at, or Indiegogo, or anything, any of those, for maybe another project?
Well, when I guess by the time all of that started to come around, I had pushed the scripts to the side, so I really never looked into it at that point. And it may be something I'll come across maybe later. I'm just trying to get things aligned as far as the novels are concerned, kind of get my name out there, and then maybe I'll have a bigger push to when I want to do something like that. Because I tell you this, if I could basically film that movie over again, with the knowledge that I have now, you know, I work as a supervisor now, so I know how to settle those disputes, you know, a lot of things like that. So I think it would come out a lot better. But yeah, I mean, the script thing, it's just, like I said, I had a couple of them that were option. You know, you get excited, oh, the scripts are option, but you know, option doesn't mean they're guaranteed to make it. It just means, hey, you know, whatever, if we decide to make it, then, you know, you'll get paid and all this type of stuff. So it's, you know, it's just you stop hearing from people. And it's just one of those frustrating things. And I said, well, at least with a novel, I control that. You know, this with a script, you got to set up with, I got to get somebody to film, I got to get somebody who, some actors, you know, it's just a whole lot of pieces that have to come together. Whereas a novel, I can still get my stories out there with limited help from other people. And so, yeah, at the time,
and there's options too, right? Like, there's now YouTube. You can make short little things to go with your books that doesn't have to be a full featured film anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I actually shot a short too. The funny thing is, I'm not a horror writer per se, but I shot a little horror film with my daughter. It's like a little 15-minute thing a while back. And that was so much better experience because I had a little more control over what was going on, you know. You know, her, you know, I can fuss at your daughter, hey, do this right, you know, as opposed to other people. But yeah, it came out rather well for, you know, just the storytelling. It was about, I think, about 15 to 20 minute little short, and you know, it was fun to do. So I know that's in me, and maybe, you know, I'll get back to it one day or another. But yeah, it's just, there's so much that goes into that. To whereas a novel, I can be at work, and you know, if I need to type something while I'm at work, or if I'm at my mom's, I can type something over there. Wherever I'm at, I can kind of do my whole novel thing wherever. Whereas, you know, that takes a lot of coordination for the other stuff.
So you said you're just now starting to do book events. Have you just been putting them up on like Amazon and stuff like that? And are
Yeah, I started off, my first four books were self-published, and then I went with the publishing company for the next 12. And yeah, I was just doing Amazon things, and I promised myself last year that I'm going to try to do something different. I never went out to any events or anything like that, and I finally started to do that. I did one earlier this year out in Houston that went really well. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I need to kind of keep at this to kind of get my name out there. You know, maybe I'll see some of the people that I saw in Houston out there. But yeah, it was time to do something different because the writing part is easy for me. I can do that.
It's, you know, you can get on that that Kroger's program where you can go in the Kroger's. You would be a lot more accepted than Dicey and I with her erotic stories and horror. They're not really big into those two. But sci-fi and stuff like that, they'd probably really dig that.
Yeah, I saw the guy who became an Amazon bestseller out in Dallas.
Yeah.
And so I told anybody who comes see me today, just take a picture of me looking defeated. And then maybe I'll get that whole viral thing and jump up to Amazon bestseller. But yeah, I did see that. I was like, oh, grocery store. And I thought about that too, but I was like, hey, who wants to go to a grocery store looking for a book? Because I really didn't think that would work, but apparently for this guy, it did. Yeah.
You never know what'll hit. He had some other things in his favor too, though, you know? Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, what is your genre? Is it African-American literature?
It's all over the place, but it's part of it. I mean, you know, you can kind of talk about urban fiction, sci-fi, comedy, drama, mystery, murder mystery. I'm all over the place. I'm okay. Just, you know, put it like this. Like I said, I just turned 45, so that makes me a Cancer sign. You know, mm-hmm. And you know how Cancer signs are. We are have different emotions whenever. And so I can't stay in one thing. Even though my publisher told me, she said, you should really keep it in the same genre so your readers know what to expect for you. But I said, but that's why the name is Enigma. You never know what to expect.
Right.
And so I may be in the mood to write a murder mystery. Then the next day or the next time, I might be into a sci-fi or a comedy. You know, whatever I'm into, it just, I'm all over the place.
Who are your influences?
If I had to pick a main one, and this is how I'm messed up so many times, it'd be George R. R. Martin for Game of Thrones, because I wanted to start killing people in my books, and then I had to kind of dial it back, so I would blame him. But if I had to really pick, you know, as far as author-wise, but like I said, in movie-wise, I would probably say like Quentin Tarantino, Spike Lee type deal, you know, and I know that's kind of different opposite ends of the spectrum, but those are the type of people, like when I watch a Quentin Tarantino film, the dialogue is just there. And then when you watch a Spike Lee film, you see a lot of the things that he's able to push with the messages and things like that.
Right.
And so I get heavy influences from all of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense.
So when you get an idea for a story, because everybody's different, do you start with the beginning, the middle, or the end?
So different processes. You'd be surprised that a lot of my books are based off of dreams. And so I'll just have this dream and I'll just write this book. Like it'll be just a short scene or a short dream that I have, and I'll write an entire book around it. I'll give you a perfect example. My first script, that I wrote, y'all know, what's her name? Tamela Jones, right? Actress. So I had a dream. I hadn't seen the Tamela Jones movie in who knows how long, but for some reason I had a dream that she was trying to kill me. And as a guy, you know, if you have a dream about Tamela Jones, you don't want her to be trying to kill you.
She wanted to be killing something, but not you.
Yes. And so I took that as a message, like there must be a reason that I had this random dream of this woman trying to kill me. And I turned that into my first character in my first script, which I end up turning into novels as well. So that's the type of stuff that I'll have. Now, do I start at I normally start at the beginning. Like I'll have a way to where I know where the story's going for the most point. Sometimes I'll start a story, don't know what the ending's gonna be. You know, I'll just see how it feels, how it gets there. But then there's some stories that I know at some point in time, it's going to end here. So now I just got to build that, you know, ramp up to there. So
that's interesting. So now we know that that's who you would want to play that character. Okay, Tamron. What about the last book that you put out? Who would you cast for that, for those roles in that book?
So when I wrote that script, it was Monica, the singer.
When she was younger or now?
Well, since I wrote this story like probably around 10 years ago, to be the younger Monica.
Okay.
So when I used to write those scripts, I used to make like little mock movie posters, and I would use celebrities and stuff like that. So
that's what
I wrote this Illustrious Solitude, there was just this one picture of Monica that was just so perfect for the book. And I actually made it as it was a screenplay at the time. So I actually made it as a movie poster. So that would definitely be Monica. Now, that was years ago. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate the fact that everybody that I wanted to play my stuff from 10 years ago have aged out. That's an issue. But, you know,
I mean,
there's
maybe
always...
Harrison Ford just made another movie. I mean...
Yeah, but he's playing a character that he already played when he was younger.
This is true.
But you know, there's always somebody new, I guess.
And that's the hard part, because in your mind, it's always this person,
right?
Like when I do my Enola Street Tales, it's Tamla Jones. I don't care who it is. I don't care how young it is. When I think of that story, I think of her.
So your wife must be very understanding, because you were kind of obsessed in this world at this time. If you're making a movie poster of this woman, you know, your wife is like, okay, that's his creative process. You know, I don't feel insecure, or I don't feel that his attention is off of me for right now. So your woman, your wife understands then to just leave you alone, let you do your thing.
Yeah, I mean, she's part of the process as well. You know, a lot of times, which I'm sure most people do, when you write a book and there's different characters, you know, she's going to tell me what my character was thinking, the same character that I just wrote for some reason. I think she she wasn't. How do you know I wrote the character? I know what she was thinking at this point. You know, so she's been very supportive. You know, she reads a lot of my books. She doesn't read all of them because, again, she's not going to read sci-fi. She's not a sci-fi person, so she's not going to read that. She'll read certain ones that kind of appeal to her. But, yeah, she knows my process. She knows that it's all creative. It's all fun. I mean, you can't take all these things seriously. If she did, then, yeah, she would not be reading any more of my books, because we're not there. You know, this is part of the process, so she understands that.
I get you.
Nice. That's awesome. Have you characters based off her?
I used her name in the book before last, and she was excited about that. I don't know if she was excited about what the character did. And there was there's another book too that I wrote that's like almost like an autobiography of my life. And so I'd say about 65 to 70% of it was true. And the other percentage is just made up stuff just to keep the story moving, because my life is not that exciting. So, but there's a character based on her, and she loves that. She read that book multiple times just because she knows that is her. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Like writing that, I was like, because, you know, some people may not take it the right way, but, you know, she enjoyed it, but she lived it, so it's like she knows what part was made up and which part was real. So
that brings me to like Best Man. You remember that series of movies at first, and now TV show Best Man. So have you gotten? I remember when I first started putting out books, everybody was like, "Am I in it? Are you writing anything about me?" And I was like, "Unless you're a vampire or done something, you know, no." But did you have people around you? And I know you wrote that, you know, specifically for your wife. But I mean, your friends and other family, were they worried that you were going to write their personal business or something in the story, like they did in Best Man, and how disastrous that turned out? Now, I don't know why that fool did that. Harper was silly for doing that, but go ahead.
That was his stupidity. I didn't understand that either, but there was a lot of things wrong with that movie and series. But anyways, my first book, and this is only one person. I didn't know she was going to read it. I didn't know she was going to buy the book, but it was a coworker. And there was a character in there that... Well, let me back it up. So my first book is written as like a diary. So you're basically reading the diary of a character. It was the first time I was just trying to write something down. And the work part of her life was real, because that was based off of my life. All the extra stuff, because she was a junkie on drugs or recovering drugs and stuff like that. The love triangle, all the sex and blah, blah, blah. That's all fiction. And so certain characters in the workplace, what I would do is I would change them around to, you know, it's her, and I changed it to a guy. And so, you know, but there was a situation that she ran, and she just texted me one day out of the blue, was like, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, what are you talking about? This was so removed. And she was like, I know what you did. I mean, we laugh about it now, but she was like, I know what you did. She was like, you know, other people might think, might know that name that you called me and this and that. And I'm like, trust me, they don't know. They think it's a guy. They don't know it's you that we're talking about, because it was something that happened. And she was just, that was really the only time I ran into it.
Oh, that's hilarious. I had somebody do that.
There's a couple other people in there that probably would be even more upset if they would actually read it, but that's how I know you read it or not. I actually, you know, did you read the book? Oh, yeah, it was great. No, you didn't. Because if you did, I would call that text saying, I can't believe you said that. And so that's how you can kind of test people. So.
Oh, yeah, that's a good test. I need to keep that in mind. Well, actually, it would just be a waste of time for me. I know they're not reading it. So.
Yeah. And, you know, you'll find out real quick. Trust me. Mm-hmm.
I've had people do the opposite where they were like, you wrote about, I'm like, no. And they're just like, no, you did. And I heard all about it. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure I know what I wrote. I didn't write about you, hon. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You want to be in your book so bad.
They just put themselves there. So I'm like, you know what? That's fine. You can, sure, go ahead.
I've actually written stuff too that I know one person did think it was about them, but I'm like, I wrote this before I even knew you. And I can't believe, you know, the situation happened that was so similar. You know, maybe it was just one of those destiny moments, but yeah, when I wrote this, I didn't have no who that you existed. So
that's awesome.
I have gone across that once.
Well, there you go. I guess when you've written so many stories, that, I mean, that's just bound to happen.
You want to talk about your podcast? How long have you been doing that?
So my podcast, I just started last year. I'm still trying to fine tune certain things. I just started going live on my book podcast, because I have two of them. One of them is called Past and Present. And basically it was built off of, when we look at movies from the past, how do we look at them now? Because back in the 80s, there were certain movies that you watched, they were like the greatest movies ever. And then you watch them today, it's like, what the hell was I thinking? This movie's terrible. And so it started off being that, but then it started moving on to reviewing just current movies that are out. Now I still try to throw in a past and present movie, you know, as well. And every now and then, but yeah, it's just something I'm trying out now, just to.
Now I'm curious, what movie did you watch back then that you think's terrible now? At least one.
Well, so put it like this: you mentioned Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Okay. So Indiana Jones, my favorite movie out of the trilogy as a kid was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Okay. As an adult, that movie is horrible. That movie compared to the first and third ones. There's no question. Like, you couldn't tell me anything about the Temple of Doom when I was a kid. I'm like, that is the best Indiana Jones movie. And it was the same thing with Rambo. Rambo First Blood Part 2. You couldn't tell me anything. The first Rambo is the best Rambo as an adult. But it was just certain things like that. It also gives me a chance to point out some things, too. Like, you remember the movie, I think it was called Short Circuit with the robot. Yeah, so you watch that movie as a kid, you know, Johnny Five alive, everybody's happy, this and that. And then I watched it as an adult. This is what really made me do this whole thing. I'm like, where your girl was living, I think her name was Stephanie Speck. She had a food truck. She's living in a house overlooking this beautiful lake. I'm like, how can she afford that off of a food truck? That's the eyes of an adult as opposed to the eyes of a kid. We're not worried about mortgages and things like that as a kid, you know, and I'm looking at that. I'm like, how? Off of a food truck and he's just feeding all these animals. How can you afford this?
And you see, know, that right there, my friends, will make my point and bring it back around to Hollywood thinks that they know how to write shit. They fucking don't. They are not writers, but everybody in Hollywood thinks they're a writer.
Yeah, I mean, I understand they have different sets or whatever, but this is a beautiful view that she's looking at. I'm like, there is no way she can afford that just working a food truck. It's impossible. I just can't see that. And so that's how that kind of came together. And then my other podcast is mainly me talking about my books. I try to give some background about my books. That one I started doing on video just recently. And I'll talk about how I came to certain ideas and things like that. I also do the whole marry, sex, kill game with my characters. I try to make three similar characters, and then I have to decide which one I would marry, which one that I would have sex with, and which one I would kill. So,
Okay. Speaking of Indiana Jones, the reason I start laughing at that is because we torture our kids with making them know the greats. Mm-hmm. So they have to listen to all the old great music and know it. Mm-hmm. Like if they did not know Prince and Whitney Houston, like you must know all the Teddy Pendergrass, all that. You got to know all the old stuff. You got to know all the old films too. So we would do marathons in here where they have to watch all the old stuff. And they were so mad at me at certain films. Star Wars. They absolutely hated Star Wars and Indiana Jones. I remember I was like, sit down and watch it. Y'all are going to watch this. This is a masterpiece, Indiana Jones. And they were so mad that they had to watch Indiana Jones. And it just cracks me up remembering, because this has been a few years ago now. But when you...
Well, now she tortures them with Art the Clown.
I make them watch that now. My daughter went with me to see Terrifier 2, and she ain't been right since. But I didn't make her on that one. I warned her, and she decided that she was big and bad, that she could handle it, and she went and got her feelings hurt. But tomorrow we're going to go see Insidious. Have you seen Insidious?
I have not.
Okay. You have nothing.
Okay.
I'll say nothing. Okay. I'm not a fan of that series in general. Okay. Yeah.
You didn't like the first one or second one? Okay. That's fine. Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I saw them. You know, okay. I saw them. But this one, I was falling asleep. But I mean, come on, it did follow what was the one we saw just before? Talk to Me. And that was an excellent horror movie.
Mm-hmm. That's an Australian film, I believe, that comes out here in the US on the 28th. Mm-hmm. Talk to Me, we got Houston Horror Film Festival did an advanced screening of that, and it was very enjoyable. Matter of fact, let me ask you, Enigma, are you here in Houston?
I'm in Dallas.
You're in Dallas. Oh, okay. So the Texas AuthorCon is right down the street for you. Okay. Yes. Oh, okay. So do you know about the Houston Horror Film Festival coming up in August?
No, but I will be back in Houston for another book fest out there. I think it's in October.
October? Okay. What is that?
That one is the, I have to look it up. I can't remember what it was. You know, I just signed up for a whole bunch of things. I don't even know what I signed up for, but there is a book festival out in Houston in October. I think it's either mid to late October, and I did sign up for that one. It's another 2-day one. I have to look it up.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad to see you getting out there, putting your books out there. Some of the earlier, I would say, Black authors that I read were Zane, Eric Jerome Dickey, Omar Tyree, Elin Harris. Were you a fan of any of those?
Not particularly. I mean, I've read, you know, a couple of like excerpts of certain ones, and they really just didn't catch on to me. Okay. And I think probably part of the problem is I'm just a weird person. So, you know, certain people can read certain things, and I'm just like, I am very weird with certain things, so I just, it's not them, it's me. I already know.
No. Fair enough. I mean, it was the urban fiction that I heard of back then, so that's why I was reading it, you know. I was all over the place trying to find, look at your fur baby. Chantel's cat has come into the screen.
This is my prince, formerly known as Princessa, because I thought he was a girl when he was a kitten.
Oh. What?
I used to call him Princessa because I thought he was a girl. But now he's formally known as Princess Sai. He's just Prince.
Oh, gosh. And you thought you were weird.
Or Elvis Presley, if you feel like being a little shirty.
Enigma, so what do we call you? Do we call you Kevin, Casey, or we call you Enigma?
You can call me whatever you want. Now, look, there's certain people who only know me as Enigma. Like when I was filming the movie, they just kept calling me because the name was initially I had it as Eric Enigma, and so they were just calling me Eric. And I was like, okay, whatever y'all want to call me, that's not my name, just a pen name, but we can go with that.
right. I know how somebody met me through what they call me, whether they call me DeVito or Dicey. I know like what level we're on. I know whether they know me from the creative space or from the legal space or, you know, another space.
Or if they're just weirdos like me and just call her D. Hey, D. Right.
Either way, if you say D, you're going to hit it all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got it covered. So Enigma, can you tell I'm gonna stick with Enigma because I like that. I mean, not that I don't like Kevin, but I mean, Enigma, I don't know of any other Enigmas. So I like that. And plus you said that goes with the mystery and being all over the place. So yeah. Can you tell everybody where they can find your works and your podcasts, or, you know, this is your opportunity to promote whatever you'd like to promote?
Okay. So all my work is located on my website. It's www.enigmakid.com, and that's KIDD.com. And it has my podcasts on there. It has my book links on there. It has different interviews and videos and things like that. It's all me. Anything you want to know about me is actually on that website. And my newest book, it just released on July the 3rd. Illustrious Solitude, so I will have copies if you need them. I'm signing them. I already have some of them. People are already telling me put stuff on the side, but you know how that goes. So I'm like, first serve, if you got the money, we gonna go ahead and make that transaction. Except for my mom. I can't do that with my mom's book. If I sell my mom's book, I'm gonna have to hear about it for at least a month. So hers is on the side. Everybody else, you know, it's fair game. But yeah, enigmakid.com. You can hit me up there. You can links to my podcast and everything is listed on there. And trust me, there's a lot of information. All my books, descriptions. I even have a character corner where I break down certain characters from each book. So just so you can already know what these characters are about. And like I said, the podcast, there are certain books that people want to hear about, you know, just hit me up on the podcast and I'll do a perspective of it just to kind of give you a background on where I came up with the idea. And the thing about those videos is I don't really have a script for them. I'm just reading, just going off the top of my head. Like with the movie stuff, I'll normally be reading off certain things because I've taken notes and stuff like this. But I like to do the books to just, you know, just be me. I'm just going to tell you where something came from. It's just a genuine conversation that I have. So, you know, if you're interested in that, definitely check me out.
Nice. Awesome. Nice. Well, we look forward to seeing you this weekend. I can't believe that time has come up on us so fast. The day after
tomorrow. Yes. What you talking about? Yes.
I still have so much to do.
We need to post this soon.
I'm rushing, trying to get everything together. Like, okay, making my checklist. Do I have everything? Because each event I went to, I've learned something different, and I try to add it to the next event.
I actually got my change today, y'all. I already have my change.
I still got to go do that.
Goodness. Oops. Yeah, I need to make a list because traveling, you know, like if it was here in Houston and I happen to have left something, I can come back home. But there, if I don't have it, I just don't have it. So
right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I've enjoyed this conversation and we'll see you soon.
Yeah. All right. Take it easy.